Can anything slow down this AI juggernaut? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Last week, more than 1,000 scientists and tech leaders, including, yes, Elon Musk, signed an open letter calling for a pause in the race to develop more powerful artificial intelligence models. The letter channeled a certain dread I think many are feeling about these fast-moving technological changes, and became a lightning rod for criticism from both AI boosters and skeptics. Here to tell us more about why he signed the letter is Gary Marcus. He's a professor emeritus of cognitive science at NYU and a co-author of the book Rebooting AI, Building Artificial Intelligence We Can Trust.
We haven't put in the work yet as a society, especially not at an international level, but even at local levels, to really know what to do. You know, there's no question that we need regulation, and there's no question we don't have any yet. We are about to enter like an information apocalypse almost. Like, it is so easy now to make up fake, you know, videos about anything, or at least fake stills that are pretty convincing. We have to worry about bad actors taking advantage of these tools to make industrial grade, wholesale grade misinformation that looks really good. Like, what's the consequence for that? Who's liable for that? There's just not a lot of regulation or thought yet about how to do it. And so the idea was, let's take a little time.
What are your most immediate concerns?
First of all, I think that the 2024 election is going to be a train wreck. That is my most immediate concern. It's going to be very easy, for example, to put out fake news stories that look like they are from authentic publications with photographs, with, you know, multi-paragraph stories, and to put out many variations. You know, it's possible to completely flood the zone with nonsense that looks so good that nobody's going to be able to tell the difference. And so anytime anybody says anything, there are going to be these counter campaigns with complete garbage. And people are, I'm afraid, going to wind up in this place where they really don't believe anything.
So it sounds like you are more concerned with what is already existing and out there in the world than the kind of potential harms of, you know, future developments. And I've seen you express that you're more concerned about malicious humans using this technology than, you know, the machines kind of becoming malicious.
That's 100% true. And also, as a certain kind of scholar, I recognize both my own limits and recognize that these things are not exclusive, right? And I mean, I guess some people signed the letter because they're very afraid in the long term that we will lose control altogether of the machines. And you can be worried about that or not. Already, we don't really have control of the machines in the sense that ChatGPT is a very unpredictable beast. Like, I like to use the phrase that it's like a bull in a china shop. It's powerful, it's reckless. We don't really know how to control it. And that's only going to get worse. And the other side of it for me that we haven't mentioned is people are just giving it more and more authority too. You know, companies in Silicon Valley now trying to work to hook these things up to everything, like nuclear structure and cars and who knows. And so the surface area of connecting this technology that is fundamentally unreliable and not well controlled, not tightly controlled, to everything, which is what the goal of Silicon Valley seems to be this month, it's just a bad idea.
Right now, there's basically a race between these companies. I mean, does there need to be some sort of incentive for them to slow down?
Obviously, it's not in the interest, immediate short-term interest of these companies to do that. But they've all come out actually in favor of saying, yes, we do need some regulation here. I don't know that they're going to agree to a pause, but they all acknowledge the need for regulation. You know, most of these harms are still things that we anticipate. They're not things that have happened yet. Some of them are difficult to measure, like misinformation may have already risen, but we don't really know. But at some point, the public will say, you got to stop. And at that point, they'll say, well, instead of stopping, how about if we do X? I keep thinking of horses, you know, leaving and, you know, closing barn doors before the horse leaves or after. I'd like to see us, you know, close some of the doors before the horses leave.
Are there other domains that you can sort of look to where something like this pause or, you know, cooperation on a mass scale around something that feels inevitable has happened that we might look to?
I'm not full expert here, but it has happened multiple times in the history of molecular biology. People have been concerned about, you know, what are the risks of the things that they're building? And there have been some voluntary pauses that have been internationally accepted. cloning, for example, germline alterations of various sorts. There have been a number of things like that where people have said, this is risky. Let's pause here. Let's figure out, you know, how we can do this safely, or even whether this is safe at all. And so, yeah, I mean, people in other domains have thought about these things. What worries me right now is that whereas the biologists talked a lot to the ethics people and really tried to work this all out, so much is being driven right now by people's desire to just scale up GPT and see what they can do with it. I don't think that ethicists are being consulted that much, and I think it's mostly being driven by money, and I fear that that may get us in trouble.
Whose job do you think it is to regulate technology like this?
Only way it's going to work is if we get the governments and the tech companies to agree that they need to work together. We need international structure around this, which is actually in the interest of the tech companies. They don't really want to have, you know, 500 different laws in 500 different countries. Interestingly, like just in the last week, we saw Italy ban ChatGPT. UK put out a new white paper saying they wouldn't have a central regulator. Like, those are two pretty opposite extremes. And you can imagine, like, every country winds up somewhere in the middle of that continuum with their own rules. That's not really ideal for the tech companies or for society. So I think we need people to sit down together and try to work out what they can all live with that, you know, reflects consensus values of humanity and not just profit motives.
AI expert Gary Marcus. His new podcast is called Humans versus Machines. We've got more on that open letter originally published by the Future of Life Institute. It's linked at our website, marketplacetech.org. Earlier this week, we featured an interview with someone who was skeptical of the letter, linguist Emily M. Bender at the University of Washington, who co-authored an often referenced paper about large language models called On the Dangers of Stochastic Parrots. She agreed with some of the policy ideas in the letter, but not how it framed the dangers, with language she called unhinged AI hype. She said the focus shouldn't be on the imagined dooms of as yet unrealized superhuman AI, but the risks that have already become apparent with these tools. Basically, many of the same ones Gary Marcus cited as reasons for signing the letter. And later this week, we'll have a different perspective on whether the AI industry should be forced to take a pause from someone with more of a hands-off stance. That's coming up on Friday's show. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.